welcome to JFG tonight. Beautiful snow coming out outside. It's beautiful to look at the camera, the security cameras on my land, and see all of these snowflakes falling from the sky. DK Shadow reminds us that not your admin keys, not your coin. There is, I thought it would be good to do a public service announcement because I spoke to a guy recently who he wanted consultation on his finance and life. And he was planning to sell his BTC at the end of the bull run toward USDT. And I said, careful, USDT is centrally controlled. You might think because it's on an ETH smart contract that it's your coins, but it's not your coins. Because USDT has a feature that allows it to be blocked from a central entity. So USDT can decide this wallet cannot transfer its USDT anymore. And now your USDT are worth zero. So the stable coins are not the refuge value that we tend to think they are. Many of them can be centrally blocked, and we have, I was reading news that's kind of old, it's like 10 days old, but Tether is collaborating with the FBI. The problem when you collaborate with the FBI is it all starts with terrorists. It's like, okay, obviously this wallet was a terrorist wallet. But then the second wallet, maybe it's not terrorists, maybe it's someone who bought some ETH and swap some ETH to USDT on Uniswap and happen to have interacted with the wallet of a terrorist. And then down the line, it's ideological dissidents. It's Nick Fuentes getting his bank account blocked. Stay away from centrally controlled stables. People are saying that DAI is the solution to this. DAI is a stable coin that has been extremely successful, extremely stable across the years. It has no central control, I'm being told. So it's a smart contract that will go on forever. So they can't collaborate with the FBI to knock out your wallet. That's a good thing. I don't know, though, about the long-term stability of DAI, because I think DAI is working on a synthetic expansionary model, and that some of these models have crumbled, but the AI appears to always have sticked to the value of $1. Stephen Robinson says, and there is a pulse chain version of DAI called PDAI. Oh, well, if I'm hesitant on trusting DAI, I'm certainly not going to put my wealth in PDAI, let me tell you. Importing military-age men from third-world countries as consequences. This was England's capital today. I don't even know what's going on, but a bunch of brown people and black people with sticks. I don't know what the Third World War would be fought with, what kind of weapon it will be fought with, but I know that the Fourth World War will be fought with sticks and stones. Albert Einstein. You have to give it to Albert Einstein. He was right. It was just wrong about which war would be fought with sticks and stone. It is the war of existence in our diverse cities.
Yeah, yeah, all right. Say Aki, say Aki, say Aki.
Popcorn Power says, how did Ashley, a Jewish woman, end up with the last name St. Clair? Well, Jews do this, you know, they have family in France, they have family in England, and they give themselves this little French attitude. It's very common. You can see that kind of thing. in Jewish families where they have their own family is a diaspora in and of itself. I quit Twitter today and I feel immediately better, says Frederick von Finkel. So much violence on that platform, very sad. The orcs are winning. I don't blame you. I don't think that Twitter is a mentally healthy place to be. For me, it's really not a problem. For me, it's my job and I do it as my job. I play the game of Twitter. But if you're really just a normal person who's not deriving income from it, it's not a healthy place to be. There's just too much stupid people. Now, it's my job, and I love interfacing with stupid people. I love testing people. I love seeing where they're at, and I love making them grow in the process and grow and test them for if they deserve further growth. But if you're just a guy who wants to entertain himself, Twitter may not be the right place to be mentally. Riley Gaines comments on a decision of the boxing world, USA Boxing, to allow transgender women to compete against female boxers under certain conditions from 2024 after introducing a new policy. What we especially don't see in the MMA world, because Joe Rogan has said never, never will you see a transgender in the women's category in the UFC. So I'm glad that there's a safe space for women to do combat sports, the UFC. But the boxing world is seemingly adopting this crazy policy. You're going to have someone dying. mean, you're going to have a woman just being beaten to death at some point. And it's like all of this she will be sacrificed on the altar of diversity. Silver Spider says, I don't do Twitter. That's what I pay JF on Super Chats. Yeah, exactly. You pay me to distill the idiocy of Twitter and transmit it today. Asferia says, I'm all for transgender in women's sport. It's a win-win for me. If the woman loses, it's funny. If the transgender loses, it's funny. Yeah, there is this aspect where you're like, maybe we're due for a massive beat up. Maybe since we cannot use violence in the modern world against women, and since we will have our lives ruined if we use violence, perhaps it's better that it happens in the ring, and we get our guys to identify as transgender and to go beat them within the legal standards, within the legal framework. Riley Gaines was commenting on this. Do you understand what this means? Men will be glorified for beating up on women. Not only glorified, they will be deemed brave for such actions. Slippery, slippery slope. Yeah, I think the whole transgender in women's sport, I'm not super involved in that debate. It's because to me, the whole propaganda for transgenderism is so much more important than just the sports aspect. If you listen to these rational centrist voices, it would seem that the only problem that ever stemmed from the LGBT community is that they asked their trans candidates to be accepted in women's sports. And the fact is that is a very small part of the problem. And I'm afraid that those people who only lead that fight, like Riley Gaines, I'm afraid that they are missing the fight against reproduction. They are missing the anti-natalist component of this, where society and public school is currently propagandizing our children to be less reproductive, to drive them to a non-reproductive lifestyle. To me, that is so much graver than the invasion of women's sports. And anyways, in my conception of the world, women shouldn't do sports. I'm a libertarian, so they can do it if they want, But look at what will happen to you if you do too much sports. I mean, Riley Gaines could have been beautiful if she hadn't done so much sports. But look at these shoulders. Look at these arms. No, no, no. There is no reason why you would make that much sport that you become ugly. Max Demian says the whole bathroom question got pretty old. Yeah, bathroom, sports, all of this to me is, sure, we can include it in the fight, but if you're not joining me on the fight against the whole of the propagandist agenda of the LGBT community, then you are leading an insufficient fight. Rodi Lucid says, but JF, think of how much wood she can chop. Well, sure, but we're in 2023, you know. I don't need a woman to be able to chop all of the wood for the winter. I have money, I can pay for the wood, I can sustain my family. We don't need this. White Pill says, I don't understand JF's love of Bitcoin. Sure, in the extremely long run, the financial system is invariably going to collapse. But in our lifetime, the odds of an index fund losing money is virtually zero. The system will do everything it can to protect what is the ultimate source of usury. Yeah, and Defenestrator has one of the right responses to this. First, check BTC performance versus the S&P. The fact is BTC is accessible to everyone. The stock market isn't. The stock market is paper wealth that is easily seizable. BTC isn't. And Bitcoin, well, first outperforms, just straight out outperforms the classical options to invest. So just from a, if we aren't speaking about the other advantages, just from a performance perspective, Bitcoin beats all. And shut the fuck up, Stephen Robinson, with your theoretical 800,000% return on HEX. Shut the fuck up. BTC beats everything to start with. BTC is accessible to everyone, unlike the stock market. And most importantly, BTC has a feature that assures its winning forever against the stock market, which is, yes, there is usury and there is an inflationary system, but BTC benefits from that inflation too. BTC is the counter system. It is the great black hole absorber of frauds, because you want to keep on doing your fraud, which is basically the fraud of modern civilization is very simple. The Fed is there. The investors are there. The Fed is saying, all right, time to invest. We're injecting money into the system. Suddenly, money isn't worth nothing, but those people who were in stock market assets are kept afloat and they enrich themselves at the expense of the rest of the world, the working class. Okay, that is the system as it stands. But the stock market keeps printing new successes. See, you know, there were a couple of tech companies in the 90s that were the big blue chip companies that totally got destroyed at some point. So there are shit coins in the stock market. There are shit coins that show up to be shit after a year. There are shit coins that show up to be shit after 10 years. And I would surmise that all Bitcoin stocks ultimately are shitcoin. That there is not a company that will survive 500 years. So from that perspective, the stock market is stuck in an infinite flow of expansionary printing of their token of value. Bitcoin has the ultimate resistance strategy against this. There are only 21 million Bitcoin, and that's all the Bitcoin there will ever be. And so Bitcoin, it doesn't matter in 500 years from now. It will only increase in value. They have refused to be in that infinite circle of printing and printing, inventing new money on the side of the Fed, which boosts new stocks on the side of the stock market, which fills new debt that the government has newly created. All of this is absorbed by Bitcoin, and Bitcoin is like, vroom, vroom, like a black hole in Michael Saylor's video, absorbing all of the fraud. And what's left after this? Only honesty. This is the power of Bitcoin. This is why I'm telling you, if you've read about Bitcoin for 1 year or two, you're not done. You keep discovering the greatness of this thing. Through the years, I've been stunned by Bitcoin since 2014 or 15, when my first Bitcoin tip was sent to me on Reddit. And since then, there's not a year of my life where I'm not amazed at a new function of it. Max Demian says, can a financial ad, even recommend BTC? There might be some legal precedents that will set themselves in the years to come. But certainly, we have not seen legal troubles for the Bitcoin ETFs. So the Bitcoin ETFs are an example that have received publicity, and there doesn't seem to have been any legal trouble for them. Stephen Robinson says, Jeff, what will you say if BTC cannot break 100K this bull cycle? Well, I think it's very unlikely that it doesn't break it. But if that was to happen, I would probably be stubborn and say, you know what? I call your bluff. I call your bluff, Jamie Dimon. I call your bluff, JP Morgan. I call your bluff. I'm going to buy more Bitcoin. I'm not exiting this phase of humanity. I'm ready to die trying, and it's not about getting rich. You know, there was this hilarious meme last bull run. It's this Chad guy, and there's his annoying emo girlfriend with dark hair and dark makeup. And she's like, babe, isn't it time to sell the Bitcoin? The price has risen enough. She was saying, actually, isn't it time to sell the GameStop stock during the mimetic bull run of it? And the guy stands stoic in front of her, and he says, it's not about money, babe. It's about sending a message. And I'm that kind of extremist. I ultimately don't care ending poor in my life. I'm not obsessed with money. But I have decided that Bitcoin is something I truly believe in. I'm really willing to die on that hill. And if it was not to attain 100K, at least, because I think 100K is a big minimum to me. But if it wasn't to attain this, I would probably keep my Bitcoin and buy more in the next bear market. Max Demian says, if the Fed can't control inflation, and it seems like it can't, BTC will likely rise. 100K, that's lofty. Yeah, exactly. I think that 100K is a strict minimum. I'm expecting to be satisfied with this bull run, 120K or 160K. And then if this bull run gets crazy, if there starts to be this positive feedback mechanism because of the Bitcoin ETFs, you don't know what will happen. The whole of the economy could fall. Please realize this. You're telling me, oh, is it going to happen in our lifetime? It could happen next year, motherfucker. It could happen next year that you're like, holy shit, Bitcoin is about to 5x again. And why would you stay in Apple? Why would you keep this electrical company that sells these little electrical devices for $20? You're never going to make 5x out of this. And so the rational response for everyone, this is what Michael Saylor is trying to explain to you guys. And it's like, there was a guy today with a wonderful tweet. Let me find it again, because that was worth it. It was saying, you know, I look at Michael Saylor and here's a guy. It's as if he had a 6D chess strategy. And yet he's just telling it to our face. He's not, I can't find it, unfortunately. But he was explaining, you know, Michael Saylor is telling it right to our face. There's no secret. He's just going to keep buying Bitcoin because it's the only rational thing to do. And Michael Saylor was in loss for not a very long time. Michael Saylor has been now in profit, and there's never a point in the future where he comes back in the losses. You're really only in the losses if you buy at a peak in Bitcoin and you hold through the bear market, but that is relatively rare. And ultimately, it is the rational response to everyone to go toward a finite unit of wealth instead of diluting their wealth in an infinite unit of wealth. And all of these stock markets, they may be better than cash, but they're not better than BTC because they are infinite and infinitely printable. I can start another company that is the next Apple, and suddenly Apple isn't worth what it's worth. Stephen Robinson says, is Michael Saylor not using leverage for his BTC? As far as I know, Michael Saylor is acquiring real BTC. To the contrary, now leverage. He is acquiring his money through debt, but it is extremely safe debt. Like it's like he's telling people, you can either buy the MicroStrategy stock or you can buy. Or then he's making an offering. He's like, I'm making an offering of $5 billion. You give me $5 billion, I will buy Bitcoin with it. And then he has these special deals where, okay, you're either going to get half of the profits we make on your Bitcoin, and then the other half will be in MicroStrategy shares, or you can also ask for your money out. But you'll get your money out in a 10% interest type of thing. So basically, he's saying, I'm sure that I will make more than these percentages that I'm guaranteeing to you. And so that's how he does. You can call this leverage if you want, but at the end, he's buying Bitcoin with it and storing it in hard wallets. And that's another thing that will be interesting to see with those ETFs. Will people in these that are managing these ETFs, will they really acquire Bitcoin, or will it all be paper deals where Binance is promising them Bitcoin or something like this? I don't know how it will work. But the real people, the real people who know that one day the whole system of paper Bitcoin will crash, they will want the real Bitcoin. And ETFs are not real Bitcoins because even if they were to acquire the real ones, they charge an annual fee on it. Now, the annual fee is on your total stored value of 1%. Now, you might think 1% is small. 1% this year. 1% the next year, 1% the next year. Do you understand compounding? Compounding is the fact that if you infinitely iterate through interest rates every day instead of every year, you make more money just out of the mathematical fiction of calculus, of calculation. That's a negative compounding effect. They charge you 1% every year. So your wealth, even if Bitcoin outperforms the market, the ETFs underperforms Bitcoin. So yes, defenestrator, self-custody for the win, bitches. You are correct. Defenestrator says, one fund is already quoting less than 0.5%. Still bad, but not as bad. Okay, yeah, there will be competition, but the big funds I've seen, their plan is 1%. That is big. Because 1% and then 1 other percent over it and then 1 other percent over it. Within 30 years, they have drained 30% and more of your wealth because there's a compounding effect. And they're running away with the with this cash. All of this for what? For keeping a bunch of private keys safe that if they lose it, there's no Bitcoin coming to them back. You know, if they lose it, they lose it. So you could have their degree of security. Stephen Robinson says, JF, plan B, whose false stock to flow, model broke is now calling for 500k BTC. Yeah, plan B is a guy who was wrong, just like me, because I was following his model. I was very excited about his model. He was wrong before. He basically overestimated the peak of the last bull run by a degree of 2x approximately, because he thought it would go above 100k, 120k. I don't know what he calls for now. I'm not particularly listening to him anymore because, but I mean, the fact is, Bitcoin has been faced also with a massive competition. A lot of the wealth that has been coming to the crypto world went into shitcoins. And I think that if you were to take the whole of the crypto universe with all of the drainage that an ETH can do, I think you wouldn't be far to find that the stock-to-flow model is correct. But the assumption that it only goes in Bitcoin is incorrect. I believe that the stock-to-flow model was right on target if you include ETH, BSC, all of these things where the capital flows. Defenestrator says, FBF really fucked BTC's rise with their selling shenanigans. Yeah, but I think that's positive in the end because I think that, if anything, what we know of bull runs is an underestimation. I believe that a clean bull run may be on the doorstep right now, one in which there's not a SBF equivalent. There will always be parasites, but I think that the parasites will be seen for what they are in 2024. In fact, makes me realize we are the 30th of December. I should prepare my review of the prediction of the year 2024. Let's do this tomorrow. So tomorrow is the 31st. We will do a year predictions for 2024 special show. And we can see how good I am at predictions 1 year later. Stephen Robinson says the U.S. government dropped SBF charges. Yeah, we learned that anything that could be political in nature has been abandoned. So, and they have dropped 6 other charges. Oh my God, SBF is getting a cocooning treatment. And that's because, of course, the true exposure of SBF would be the fact that he misdirected funds toward Democrat politicians. He was basically the crypto gatekeeper of the Democrat world, and he was redirecting massive amounts of money into the campaign to elect Joe Biden. Stephen Robinson says he is getting the chosen one treatment. Yeah. Clearly treated differently than Derek Chauvin, let's say, as an example. Elon Musk was talking about space exploration. He says Starship will make life as we know it multiplanetary for the first time in Earth's 4.5 billion year of existence. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Let's have a look at those claims. those SpaceX launchers that are recyclable, so they can launch many rockets at the same, you know, one after the other, with the re-landing pad. Starship. Pressurized inside. You know how they keep this thing in structure through pressure, just like a Diet Pepsi can. You know how Diet Pepsi cans, before you open them, they are very solid. Then you open them and they are kind of soft. You can bend them easily. Apparently, the same pressure is used to keep this this Starship as an elongated phallus structure. Well, there's good bass sound. The 23 motors of the Starship. Fast forward to Mars. Okay, so they are planning a biodome. And my comment on Twitter was that, yeah, you're going to need an isolated, sealed environment. And if you were serious about building something on Mars for humanity, because Elon keeps saying that we will make life multiplanetary. But life is survival for a long time, and it's reproduction. And if we were serious about this, we would already have the experiments running on Earth. You can make a dome. You can isolate it. Now, it's been tried in the 90s, and there's the movie Biodome, of course. But the movie Biodome was based on an actual experiment of a dome on Earth. But that dome is abandoned. They've run twice only the experiment of full sealing. It lasted like a year and even less for the second time, for the first time. And then a year, I believe, or less for the second time they ran it. They've met issues. They were lacking resources. So we couldn't even keep a biodome alive here on Earth. You can literally drive trucks of nutrients and soil for the plants. Can you imagine if you're stuck on Mars trying to keep a biodome alive? So if Elon wants to be serious, make a biodome. Make a fucking biodome. Because it's going to be decades to even understand what do you run out of. Like, you need to keep goats alive in this fucking biodome for 60 years before you're even approaching life on Mars. So let's get started now, because 60 years from now, we would begin to have the scientific responses to this scientific project. The rockets themselves are almost a detail. I know that Elon Musk is fascinated about them. And yes, it's kind of complex, and it's complex math and everything, and making them recyclable is a good advance. but you're working on this, such a small percentage of the problem. The problem of life out there is facing entropy, facing the attacks of nothingness and of having no nutrients at all around you, no oxygen, and having to keep it all equilibrated within a sealed environment. So that is the challenge of space exploration. Dead Star says, I tried sending Sticks a few super chats, and he's a damn stick in the mud. I'm starting to believe that Sticks and his fellow Civnats are the wokes they say they've been fighting all along. It's hard to win a delusional war against yourself. Well, I have respect for Sticks as a creator because he's always been showing up back in the days of communal live streaming and blood sports. He was showing up. So he's always been willing to be challenged and willing to interact with everyone. And that's the mark of someone who truly respects liberty and who thinks we should use that liberty. We should keep it active like a muscle that needs working. So I respect Sticks. I don't know how he handled your super chats. Too bad if he didn't want to give you an answer. But generally, I've found an open mind in Sticks Exenhammer. But he is still, you know, still one of these occultists, pagan weirdos. Silver Spider sends a super chat. He says, hey, Jeff, how do you argue against hashtag protect trans kids people who say that teaching hetero curriculum is only oppressing LGBTQ plus kids, but teaching an inclusive curriculum is actually protecting all children and not even hurting hetero kids. If the hetero kid become trans, they always say it was meant to be. Yeah, that is the hidden assumption that you need to take out of the mud and expose in them. Of course, you're not going to convince them, but if you want to win an argument against these people, you have to make it about, well, how do you know? Because your definition of what is a trans kid is nothing else than a kid that you have successfully transformed into a trans. Your definition is circular. You observe that the kid has been successfully targeted by propaganda, and you conclude it must have been meant to be. But 20 years ago, there were much less trans kids. So we know that there is an effect. Now, you need to approach this in an objective manner. You don't want to go out with the full terms propaganda and everything. You just start with the observation. 100 years ago, there was a culture on Earth, and it led to a certain number of people with gender dysphoria. Today, there is another culture on Earth, and we have a different number. We have a bigger number. That is the first observation. Now, any sort of essentialist claim here must be stopped and called out. You know, when they will say, oh, yeah, well, of course, because they were oppressed 100 years ago. You don't know this. You don't know this. All we know is there was a number in a certain society and there's a number in our society. You don't know this because you don't have the genes, you don't have the whole story that leads to a person identifying as trans. And certainly, we don't have a neutral society as a control experiment. And you can call them out on this. You can say, well, here's the problem. Okay, we were in an oppressive society 100 years ago. Okay, yes, perhaps the father or the local priest or pastor would be opposed to transgender behavior and would try to fight against it. But now we are the other way. We are in a society that encourages, and it doesn't even have the means to quantify by just how much it rewards these kids. But we can see from the behavior of moms promoting trans beliefs in their children, we can see that there is a rewarding effect. They reward with attention. They're like, oh, how do you feel today? And if they just say, I feel like a boy because I'm a boy, oh, it's like, oh, that sucks. But if they suddenly say, I want to wear a dress and I'm a girl, oh my God, I want to create a space for you to feel comfortable about all this. So you don't know how much of that rewarding, absent of it, you wouldn't have trans kids. You don't know because you don't have a control experiment. And therefore, what you the territory in which you have to bring these people to win the debate is you are trying to state that you have a neutral control, but you don't. You don't have a society that has attempted to be absolutely neutral as to its cradling of this set of belief. You have an example of a society that was oppressive. I grant it to you. You have an example of a society that is rewarding. You have to grant it to me. And now what? Now we will need an experiment. Without an experiment, what you are saying is I'm going to go on with my societal project, disregarding the fact that I do not know whether this is the natural state of things for these children. Whether in the absence of any sort of discussion about sex, whether they would have converge toward heterosexuality or transgenderism. Now, it's a little bit pedantic, and really, you do this only if you want to take them by the hand and win the debate. The reality is, in the end, even if we were in a society that pressures toward a direction, there are good directions and bad directions to take in society. Now, this is not a strategy that I recommend to argue with a liberal. But if you want my thoughts on this, there are good and bad directions. And the trans direction is demonstrably bad by statistics, like strong statistics. And one thing you can point to the liberals is if the trans lifestyle was a cigarette, you would have to have a label on this package. A label that says, hey, you have 40% chance of dying in the next few years if you adopt this cigarette. Now, the trans lifestyle is not a cigarette, it's a lifestyle. And amazingly, the very same people, the grand moralists of the world, the statists, the people who have imposed cigarette labeling, that says, oh yeah, you might have lung cancer in 40 years from now. They're not willing to be honest with children and say, hey, you might die from suicide 3 or 4 years from now if you adopt these beliefs. And yet that is where we are. We are promoting a set of beliefs that leads to extreme likelihood of suicide and mental health disorders of all kinds. Ruffman says, Jeff, if you recall, my mission for 2023 was to fuck woman and lose my virginity. Now I must inform you, I have not achieved my mission. But I have asked a stripper to spend New Year's night with me, so I may yet still achieve my mission by scoring a last-minute insemination. Also, you have ordered a stripper, and you are planning to do the whole switch from prostitute to mom straight in your bed. You are proposing that your manly charm will be such that she will suddenly realize that she has gone in the wrong path by prostituting herself and that she is now faced with a manly specimen that deserves reproduction. I think it's really bad to engage with prostitution. I really don't encourage this. But since you have already done your reservation, I guess all I can hope for you is that you do succeed at converting her from prostitute to mom. My experience with this is that a crack whore will always be a crack whore. That is the sad conclusion of my dating life. I have tried hard and it doesn't work, but she may still have a baby, you know. Every prostitute must have a baby at some point. So there must be a prostitute to mom tunnel of some kind. But my impression is prostitutes, they become extremely specialized in recognizing you as either a client, a customer, or worthy of dating. And the worthy of dating little circle that they keep is like horrible, man. It's it's like super angry, violent, kind of trashy men. Somehow the prostitute in her world, she will know from just looking at you that you are what they call square. That's a term that prostitutes use. A prostitute would call someone like me square. I'm too square. And by that, they mean you have too much order in your life. You couldn't possibly handle the chaos of her life. You are too square. She is too circled. And you cannot square the circle. That is what I understand from a Euclidean perspective, the language of street hoes. Wow, this is a fascinating shark. It's a crocodile shark, they call it. It's a shark that is so specialized at biting that its whole biting portion of its mouth can pop out of its head, liberate even the eyes, and stay onto the prey, you know, for so that basically this fish has found a dislocation to be useful between the part that grips a prey and chews and the part that holds the brain and eye. Look at this. Literally like a crocodile coming out of the skin of the fish. And when you look at this, it looks so much like a crocodile. It's fascinating. You realize that, yeah, there is common inheritance here. Eventually, the fish became kind of reptiles / dinosaurs and eventually became birds, and you can see it. It looks like Alien. Oh, yeah, Alien does this. Absolutely fascinating. A whole portion of the mouth just pops out, detaches from the eyes. Wow. Oh, well, I wish Twitter would have told me that I can have it full screen. What else do we have? Syrian oil fields under missile attack. 8 rockets hit Alomar, a major oil field in Syria. Missiles also hit the heart of the Conoco gas field. Typical Israeli bombardment, I believe. They always go at Syria for some reason. Jack Cameron. Who is Jack Cameron? I think I remember him from back in the alt-right days. Who is this old man? He is commenting on... Was he on my show? Was Jack Cameron on my show? I don't remember. But anyway, he defines himself as a husband, grandfather, rancher, sedevacantist Catholic. In Texas, member of the dissident right, he says, I feel I must defend my good friend JF and his assertion that the promises of Elon to make us a multiplanetary species are ephemeral. As a child, I wanted nothing more from the future than moon bases. We had gone to the moon. Surely we wouldn't just walk away from it. But that's exactly what we did. Pick your theory as to why, but I think it's more helpful to look at where America was at demographically as the space program began. We were plus 90% white. The counterculture, a psyop launched chiefly by CIA WASPs and Jewish elites, hadn't started. We were a functional nation. Now look at where we are. We can't be sure we won't be reenacting the war of Norton aggression next month. We stand precisely zero chance of making a moon or Martian settlement work so long as our home nations are in turmoil. That is also a very good angle of analysis. Not only is there a technical problem in the fact that we don't have biodome mastery, but there's also the fact that we don't have mastery of much anymore. We don't progress anymore in this society. The channels of progress are impeded upon by all sorts of things, including affirmative action, companies just hiring people to stand in as representative of their race. Here we have this new employee. He is joining us, representing the team black. And he will be here to maintain the proportion of blacks in this corporation. Go away, says War of Norton Aggression, lol. Tell me you support slavery without telling me you support slavery. I don't think it's a message of support for slavery. I think it's a proper historical understanding to see the Civil War as, yes, the North wanted to impose a lifestyle and impose an economical format to the South against their will. And it was ultimately demonstrating that the United States, as conceived as the joining of sovereign states, is bullshit. Ultimately, if you differ enough from what the federal forces at play want, you will be faced with a war of aggression. I believe that's very important in light of the Supreme Court being controlled right now by justices who are extremely open to state divergence, you know, to letting the states free, for example, on abortion. And the leftist hate and the leftist self-punishment, you know, how leftist states are self-punishing through COVID rules, red tape, environmental laws. So eventually they will look at the states that don't do this and start saying, hey, you're not doing your share here. You're not doing your share of self-abolishment. And when they see people like Elon Musk moving away from California toward Texas, eventually they're going to be pissed. The blue screen of death, your vehicle cannot be driven. We used to have the blue screen of death on Windows saying your computer is totally bugged. There's no other way than to restart the computer. But now we have an update not successful on a Ford pickup truck, I believe. Update not successful. Unfortunately, a recent software update was not successful. Your vehicle cannot be driven. Are you kidding me? We don't own anything. Just like the Tether stuff. Tether reveals partnerships with Secret Service and FBI in letter to U.S. Senate. So they are talking to the FBI in the same way the Twitter censors were talking to the FBI. And it all starts with 326 wallets controlling a total of 435 million USDT disappeared from existence. They still technically have the USDT, but they won't be able to ever transfer it again. So you might as well say they don't have it. So $435 million just disappeared. And this goes in the pocket of Tether. It goes in the pocket of this company because it's money that they would have had to honor otherwise, but they don't have to honor it anymore. And so be very careful. Don't go toward USDT. They are absolutely under control by governments. And they are held by the boss, you know. These governments, they start with an office of foreign assets and control. So, oh, it's just an Iranian wallet and it's just a terrorist wallet. But how do you know that these 326 wallets, there's not an American guy who just happened to have had some transfer in an exchange on Uniswap or some money ended up in his wallet that was traceable back to some other country or some terrorist group? How do you know that there's not one of these Americans in these 326 wallets? And importantly, when that expands, what's the next kind of deprivation of wealth? Would it be the protesters, the truckers? Would it be the people who are anti-vax? Would it be the dissidents? We've had Nick Fuentes being frozen on his assets at the height of $500,000, just frozen out of his bank account. And so that is extremely worrying. Stay away from these centrally controlled entities. If they have an option to stop the transmission of wealth, they will use it at some point against you. Dead Star says, tried to press sticks on vouchers. The fact that he believes every ghetto hood and non-English speaking illegal deserves a free education at whatever school they want. They don't have to pay property tax or live there, but they have a right to a community's labor. Rip America's competency crisis. Oh, yeah. Well, I am sometimes for vouchers, I will tell you this, but I'm for vouchers as opposed to the government taking my money and deciding what they do with it. I'm for vouchers in a world where you tell me, well, we're going to tax you anyway. But of course, the ideal world is one in which there's no voucher because there's no taxing. I agree with this. White Pill says, yeah, I paid about $6,000 in ambulance bills last week. Made me want to. If I gave them a fake social security number and claimed I was an illegal, it would have been free. Oh yeah, it's so sad, the state of healthcare in the US, let me tell you. You're getting ripped off. You're getting ripped off. And although I am for liberty in healthcare, what's happening in America is not liberty. It's a crossover system where you get the worst possible of everything. You don't get true liberty because there's not really competition and they kind of hold you by the balls. You don't really get liberty from a state intervention because you get the state funding so many things in the health system, like illegal migrants. And so in the end, you find yourself with the worst possible state, which is a system that you have to overpay for the service because you don't have true competition in it, because the insurance sector is absolutely ridiculously built where it's built for you to never have access to that claim unless you have something very unique happen to you. And even then, they're going to get you on the copay. It is horrible. The American system is really bad. Risks of U.S. electoral chaos deepen after Trump is barred from another state ballot. I talked about this yesterday. Somehow I feel that CNN is excited about this electoral chaos. Something tells me they're not that much worried here. They are cheering for it. Operation Prosperity Guardian. So there are vessels being escorted through the Red Sea by military Two Marks vessels are being escorted toward through the Suez Canal. So I guess that's a bunch of Canadian, US, and various countries. They are giving personnel to these ships to ensure their security in the context where the Houthis have been bombarding a lot. What else do we have before we close the show? San Diego-bound cargo ship hauling lithium batteries reports fire. A fire on a 410-foot cargo ship carrying lithium-ion batteries from Vietnam. I'm sorry, I'm having difficulty breathing. Somehow, because of my allergies, it's blocking my nose. Carrying lithium-ion batteries from Vietnam, the U.S. Coast Guard is assisting the vessel diverted to Dutch Harbor, Alaska, on Friday. All right. Careful with batteries. They catch fire. We have the first Cybertruck collision. Because Cybertrucks are newly on the road, we had the first accident. And it seems to be pretty much as Elon had promised. The Cybertruck is relatively unaffected, it seems. You can see there doesn't seem to be much damage on this side. And the front appears to have been relatively kept stable. And yet the other car has been absolutely destroyed. The other car right here, total mess in the front. I don't know. Will this lead to deaths? Because I know that classically we say that car safety relies on the car crunching. And if the car doesn't crunch, it means there's more kinetic energy that goes into the human passenger. But you never know with modern airbags, and I think that here the airbag of the Tesla has deployed. You never know with modern airbags, that may not be so true anymore. But anyways, Elon had promised that if you have an accident with the Tesla Cybertruck, that the other car would be destroyed and that the Cybertruck wouldn't that much. I think we can say he was correct on this. Sour Patch Lids says, Scott Adams says we have a crazy bitch problem. I agree. This is why both Andrew Tate and Pearl Davis are wrong about women. The enemy isn't woman. It's crazy bitches. Always has been. Well, that argument is like a hashtag not all argument. And I don't think that anyone is contesting that there are decent women out there. But suffice that they are rare enough, and it's a problem for most people. Like, if there's only 10% of the women who are women of qualities, if there's only 1% of the women out there who are women of quality, then there is a massive female problem, because then 49% of the people of the males find themselves paired with a crazy bitch, as you call her. So you know, whether it's all or most, really doesn't matter. The fact that it's most is a massive problem, and we should talk about it. And yes, it is a female problem. Now, that doesn't mean that every single female is responsible for it, but it's a female problem in the sense that we have to awaken to this reality. Go Away says, we essentially have vouchers for disability care in Australia through the NDIS scheme. Disabled people can pay whoever they want for care, no license or regulation needed. Dodgy providers ripping off disabled and taxpayer with fraud invoices, ballooning cost projected at $90 billion a year. Fuck vouchers. Yes, that is important. vouchers can totally be exploited, and you can have a whole business sector developing and specializing in draining your voucher without delivering any service back. And which is why fuck taxes as a whole, you know, it's ultimately the defect that you're talking about is you shouldn't be paying for stupid people's education, care, or anything for that matter. And as long as they're stupid people using their vouchers in stupid ways, you're the one paying for it. Real Deal Acid says, Scott Adams' comment about the problem with crazy bitches is that most of today's problems can be traced back to white liberal women, who are the group of women with the most mental problems, most medicated, etc., who always vote for what seems to be the wrong long-term strategy. Yes, I agree. Popcorn Power says, we are getting fuck vouchers, oh boy. Just wait until the guy who ordered a prostitute finds out. Was his prostitute a state-enforced prostitute? Through vouchers? That was not my understanding. I thought that Ruffman, that our friend Ruffman, was paying for his prostitute in cash, privately gained cash. And at least 7,000 women in Germany have been the victim of sexual assault by refugees since 2015. Well, you know, you get what you deserve. And when you invite in your country, you don't secure your borders, and you invite people who can come from any place, and they can be criminal in their own nation, and you welcome them in with no follow-up, no monitoring, you're going to get this. So for the cost of open border policy is a lot of rapes. And I had said that we were due to get more rapes. I believe that society will not correct itself until there is just a massive amount of rapes going on, and they go on an everyday basis. And eventually, you know, precisely like Scott Adams was saying, the white liberal woman, there is an amount of rape at which they get tired. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's one rape a month, one rape a day. But there is some amount of rape after which they say, hey, maybe we should change policy. And that will be a sweet spot for civilization to grow again. Much love. I'll see you all tomorrow. Thank you.